Hello there, hello there, hello there. Time for Radio Fishing. Boy, great thing about having a busy store is if you have a busy store. Bad thing about it is getting time to do anything else.
Yes, definitely.
That's been the tough part. Anyway, this is Fish and Frank in the chair, and that's Robert in the chair across from me. And we're going to, we did figure out, as you noticed, if you've clicked on that video link, how to do videos. So we're going to be doing some how-to videos. I've got that figured out, how to do the page, so that's coming up real soon.
It's going to be awesome.
We'll start that next week, how to hook up shrimp, how to do this, how to do that, you know, all the little different things about fishing down here. So, anyway, that's all in the future, but for right now, we're going to get to the fishing report. So, what's up in the wide world of reports? Let's just go up river, up Peace River.
Peace River, okay. It's been running about the same, like it kind of was last week. I mean, the trout are out in the middle of the channel.
It's been a while since we've done this. I don't think it was a week. I think it was almost 2 weeks ago.
About 2 weeks ago.
Because with Christmas and everything falling into there, I looked and let's see, the last time you did one of these was the 19th.
Right, so just before Christmas, okay.
Yeah, we did one on the 19th, and it's been tough.
It's been real tough. I mean, we're fortunate that we've been swamped, but at the same time, it's kind of a drag not being able to get back here to do this.
Yeah, and best wishes from Mike. Mike's up in the hospital. And
definitely want him to get better.
Yeah, we're a little shorthanded as well as overwhelmed. So
yes.
It's been wonderful.
It has been.
What did they call it? Horrifically wonderful. Absolutely.
Running around with our heads on fire.
Yeah, it's been really nice after, you know, a little bit of kind of off time or things were a little mellow just to kind of get some business going and have. It was a lot of fun. I mean, we had a great time over the last few days, but yeah. Tired little puppy I was.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, Peace River, the tarpon, guys are trolling tarp for tarp or casting for tarpon up there.
Well, they're even trolling for them a little bit too because they're hooking up to them as bycatch while they're trying to troll for some of the trout that are up in there too. Right along the main channel, basically, from Harbor Heights up to the power lines. You know, just staying right out there and just slow trolling or drifting. The juvenile tarpon, and I mean little tarpon, they're like anywhere from like 3 to like 15 pounders. Nothing giant, but absolute blast.
Right.
The trout have been there, but they've been real inconsistent.
Well, the best thing to do, I would say, to me, I'd go up there with some quarter-ounce rattle traps or some the small terrorize, medium or small in the terrorize, but quarter-ounce rattle traps. And I like anything with black and chartreuse or orange, maybe even red, yeah. And cast for those with those up there. But the rattle traps will do the trout and the tarpon, but yeah. Try and get quarter or even the tiny traps. You know, they're in the tiny traps. You got to kind of go to the silver, the pinfish looking one.
Yeah.
But those little tiny baits, the tarpon suck those up good.
Big time.
If you got a 3/4 ounce rattle trap, you're not catching those fish. It ain't going to happen. You'll catch some trout, but you won't catch any of the tarpon. If you want tarpon, go to those small rattle traps and slow crank them. Don't get too fancy with it, I don't think.
No.
And I think the fancier you get, the less likely you are to get it. You know, you want to go out, you throw it out, you reels it back in. You don't have to get too excited about it.
No.
Slows yourself down.
Very slow.
But for the silver trout and sea trout, if you go down anywhere around the flat part of I-75 and just drift through that channel, the smallest shrimp we got are or a half a shrimp, and about a number 2 hook and a split shot. Not a big one, maybe a 5 or a 7. Just enough to keep it in the water a little bit and just kind of drift through that channel. And you'll find silver trout and spotted sea trout. If you get down to the bottom using like a number 2 or a bigger split shot, go right down to the bottom, you probably catch some whiting as well.
So, right.
I don't know what else is going on I-75.
It's been a little quiet for the other stuff. The black drum have been really... I mean, this whole month for black drum, I know the PGI Fishing Club, that's their fish this month, and we've had a lot of those guys in here asking where they're at, and we're telling them, but they're not finding them. It's been really tough in their usual haunts for this time of year.
Yeah, but we usually don't have a lot of black drum this time of year, do we, or am I wrong?
No, we really don't, but there's always those usual suspect spots where there's always a few around, like PGI Canals always has fair numbers of black drum. Burnt Storm Marina always has fair numbers of
back off drum. The Manchester up here is kind of where I'd go. I But those guys back there like eating them. They go through them pretty quick.
You're right.
And when they start showing up, there's a several of the regulars that go in, and they're just black drum crazy.
Yeah, their life expectancy is very short.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's been tough, so it's just kind of odd.
All right. Yeah. Coming up in through around the 41 bridge, I've heard trout.
Trout, some very large ladyfish.
That's probably one of the more fun fish.
Oh,
if
absolutely.
You can get some 3-5 pound ladyfish, it's better than snook fishing. It really is. For catch and release, there's nothing like a big ladyfish.
Absolutely.
I mean, I was sitting there one day, and we were catching a 30-inch-ish snook, you know, a little bit bigger, a little bit smaller. Every few minutes, you know, really nice day going on. The school ladyfish moved in, and every single one of the guys, I had four guys in the boat that day, and every one of them stopped to go for the ladyfish. What a nightmare for me. The snook we could control, but the ladyfish, they were all over there jumping up and flying across the boat. It had lines everywhere, hooks everywhere, people going all over the place. That produces some genuine excitement. You're going to school big ladyfish because all four of them hooked up. I had fish everywhere. And ladyfish poop, oh, my God. Some of these were 5-pound-plus ladyfish.
Yeah.
And there was more poop on my boat.
Yeah, ladyfish are just nasty.
Oh, my gosh. They're like tarpon, you know. You bring them up, and they're going to evacuate everything in them.
Yep.
They're just going to give you an opinion of you.
Out the north end and the south end, both.
Yeah, and the south end, it gets... that's really something to see.
Yeah. It's not really.
Something to smell. So, anyway, some nice ladyfish down there, you're saying?
Yeah, a few trout. A
little bit of snapper. A couple of snook here and there, but nothing real, real big.
Yeah.
Or not real big, but not a lot of numbers. There's still snook there.
Yeah.
And there might be a gazillion snook there, but it's just... I think they're just not eating.
Well, I think this weather, I mean, we're blessed. I mean, this December has been, we had 10 days in a row that were horrible cold, but the rest of it's been in the high 70s, low 80s pretty much the entire month.
70s and 80s. And
the fish are really discombobulated. They can't figure out where they need to be.
Yeah, the water gets cold, then it warms up, then it gets cold, then it warms up, and then the front's going across. I mean, there's a lot of fronts, even like... yesterday or today we got a front.
Yeah, tonight.
Tonight we're getting another front. It seems like at least once a week we get a front comes through, and that messes everything up. And the fish, like you say, they just don't know where to go.
Yeah.
But coming up in the Port Charlotte canals, you got some mangrove snapper activity. I'm hearing about a lot of tarpon in a couple of the canals. Edgewater, the Spring Lake canals got tarpon in them. I'm not hearing a lot about trout, though.
No, the trout really haven't moved up into the canals. Well, not in those spots anyway. You know, I mean, usually they're in East Spring Lake, West Spring Lake, and Edgewater Lake. And they haven't moved up in there because I think, honestly, it's been too warm. They haven't had a reason to move up in there. The sandbrim have started to make a little bit better of a presence, even though they're usually a little bit better later on in the late winter.
Now, a crappie jig, a little tiny crappie jig. Curl tail, but I prefer the ones with the fuzzy tails, like the bucktail or any kind of fuzzy stuff on them. Take about maybe a quarter inch piece. That'd even be pushing it. And peel the shrimp meat and put about a quarter inch piece of meat right on the point of the hook and fish them just like you would crappie. And they're like a saltwater crappie. I mean, they just, they taste great. They're good fighters, but they won't eat a live shrimp hardly ever. And when you catch them, they're all striped. They're called striping mojarra or silver jenny or sand brim. It's all the same fish, just a lot of different names. But the mouth pulls way out. I mean, way out. When you hold the lips, and they'll come an inch off the fish or better, and a half. It's really something.
A real thin membrane, just like a crappie does. They're a pretty cool little fish.
But their mouth elongates and goes down a bit. It's kind of like a cross between a porgy and a crappie.
Yeah.
Really weird fish, but good eating. Very tasty, one of the big food fish caught commercially here in Charlotte Harbor. But several of those around, it's the right weather for them. They've all got together to do the spawning thing, and the commercial guys go after them a lot. Not a lot of recreational anglers.
No.
Because I don't think enough people fish with pieces of shrimp or small enough jigs for them.
Right. And they also get in tight little balls this time of year, so it's kind of like when you catch one, you usually catch several if you actually try to target them.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing has been going on, there's been quite a few little jacks you know, anywhere from a pound up to like 3 pounds, kind of cruising in and out of the canals. They're not staying for very long, but they are coming through. A few snook, oddball redfish, you know, nothing super exciting, but it's been mostly the mouths of the canals have been where the most activity's at.
Well, it's just not that cool yet.
Yeah.
If we get a couple cold fronts, it'll all push back up in the canals real good.
Absolutely.
But going from the Port Charlotte canals over to Hog Island, a lot of redfish in the cutoff, and fairly decent numbers of keeper slot fish up there. But I haven't heard much about snook in the cutoff. I know they're there.
They got to be there, but they just... I think the problem is not a lot of guys have been going up in there and fishing for them, especially the last couple of weeks. You had duck season going on.
No, a lot of hunters over there.
There was a lot of hunters up in there, and I think a lot of guys are not wanting to pull a Dick Cheney and get drive-by.
Yeah, there's a lot of hunters over there by Hog Island, a lot of duck hunters. Yeah. And it's funny, the guys who were sitting there, if I was going to go duck hunting in Charlotte Harbor, I would set the gun down in the boat, and I would pick up a fishing pole and sit there in my regular fishing clothes and just cast the line out and be fishing. And when the ducks got close, drop the fishing pole, grab the shotgun. And
exactly.
Because as soon as you put up a blind type thing, I've watched those ducks, you know, the guys who got the big dollar duck blind boats, you know, with all the reeds on them and everything, they get within, you know, 25 yards of it or whatever. They go, whoa, wait a minute. You just see them backpedal and going right around it, you know. They got that whole what the boats look like that are duck hunting down. And they'll fly right over you if you're fishing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you pretend you're fishing and you'll get lots of ducks. So that's your best duck blind area for this area. And our best duck blind idea.
I think another reason why we haven't heard much back in there too, this whole past week's been really super low tides.
Yeah, there's just no water there. You can't get there.
Yeah, so it's been a little tricky. And I think the same thing happened last year, because I distinctly remember a guy calling last year wanting to know when the tide was coming up, because all of his decoys were laying on their side. He said, I'm sitting out here duck hunting and all my decoys are laying on their side, so I'm kind of curious to know when the tide's coming up.
Am I going to have water to get out of here?
Yeah.
So,
but anyway,
on the outside of Hog Island, some pompano running out there. If you go on the south end out on that flat, there's some cobia on that flat. But you got to get over in the Mayaca Riverside outside of Hog Island, 3-4 feet of water, and you can find some pompano.
Yeah, some pompano.
Get up along the shore. There's a few redfish along the shore.
Even out there in some of those deeper grass along there, they've been getting a few bigger redfish. Not a lot, but enough where you're catching them as bycatch while you're doing the pompano.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the mackerel to show up. I don't know what it is with mackerel this year. Boy, it's weird.
It
could be just the water temperature.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see the mackerel come back in more. But heading down towards Elgibene, what's going on at Elgibene?
Elgibene's been pretty fair. Nighttime fishing's been still pretty decent for the snook fishing, but there's been some... The trout have been on again, off again during the daytime. But
that's what I hear about sheephead there, too. On and off.
Yeah, very on and off.
You get a little bit, and guys do real good, and then everybody goes out looking for them, and nothing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, somebody will hit a good wad of them.
Yeah. I think that's going to be our general... And that's going to probably be the general feel for the whole fishing in general. It's just those fish.
I can't believe I was so far off, because I thought this was going to be a great sheephead season.
Right.
I mean, huge numbers of sheephead.
Started off big time.
Bunches of sheephead on the flats. They were everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, guys coming in are just huge, big, nice sheephead and good numbers. And all of a sudden, nothing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like they caught them all.
No.
There wasn't that many
caught. It was literally
caught.
Like a light switch went off.
Yeah. You just, okay, click, and now we're not going to eat for a while or something. Or they found something else to eat. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I honestly think it's just gotten, I just think it
warmed
hasn't
up.
Gotten cold enough, and the fish just kind of boogied.
Yeah, because everything was just starting to get down, really good temperatures for the sheephead and all the rest of that, and then it just, see ya.
Yeah.
So... Anyway, coming down the west wall, there's a lot of redfish along the west wall, mostly smaller ones, but you got to get back in the creeks for them. You got to fish the mouth of the creeks, and that's tough because usually there's little or no water to get towards the creek.
Right.
So you might end up anchoring the boat out and walking in towards the creek and just cast, you know, wade fish your way in.
We're also on the outside of that trough, basically the inside of the sandbar. They've been getting a few redfish along there, too. And then as you work your way from basically the radio tower south, on top of the bar and just on the outside edge of the bar, some pompano, some mixed trout, occasional bonnet head, and then there's been some Kobe over there, but most of the Kobe we're hearing about over there have been short. You know, they're like in that 28 to 31 inch range.
Right.
But still a blast. You know, if you're catching, you know, if you're using your trout tackle, those size fish are a blast. I mean, they'll beat you up pretty good.
Yeah, 4 to 10 pound or 4 to 8 pound class rods, even maybe a 6 to 12, something like that'd be real nice for those fish back there.
Absolutely. As you work your way down towards Cape Hayes, Muddy Bay has had some redfish in it, but mostly smaller size. There's been a couple barely slot fish right out at the front entrance there. But as you move up onto Cape Hayes, the pompano, a lot of small trout, bonnethead sharks. There's even been an occasional sharp nose around. So there's been a few little oddball sharks swimming around. Out by Marker 5, there's been some cobia, most of them on the smaller side. Kind of just a mixed bag right there on top of
that
bar.
Marker 5 is usually pretty good because if it's a bigger fish, it's got to get around Cape Hayes. And if it doesn't want to cross that 2 feet of water, it's going 3/4 of the way out to Cape Marker 5. You follow Cape Hayes out, watch for the real shallow. And as soon as you get off where you can go across in 4 or 5 feet of water, between Marker 5 and Cape Hayes, and that's where you're going to find some pretty good big fish fishing, like cobia and stuff like that. Probably one of the best ambush points there is, because that bar goes so far out. Anything right. that comes along there is going to swing around that bar.
Yeah. I just prefer to stay, like you said, on the inside towards Cape Hayes of that marker, because everybody that's going out there in their sea rays that doesn't know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah, always the marker huggers.
Yeah, they got to hug that marker like it's, geez.
No, I stay 100 yards away from
that. That channel's only this wide. Let's get as close as we can to that channel marker as possible.
Yeah, all they can do is see the channel markers. They never bother to pick up a chart and read it and think, oh, look, for half a mile on one side, it's exactly the same depth. And for 4 miles on the other side, it's exactly the same depth.
Exactly.
But let's get within 10 feet of that marker so we know we're going to hit it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's goofy. But anyway, coming along, Cape Hayes Reef, a little bit of sheephead, not a lot. I'd say the mangrove snappers fishing probably is better. A couple of cobia.
Oddball bonnethead. What else has been going on there? A little mixed variety of stuff. Some juvenile jewfish, some very small gag grouper. I mean, just you're going to bend a rod. It's not super exceptional, but you are going to bend a rod and have a good time.
Then if you go back up in Bull Bay.
Up inside Bull Bay and Turtle Bay both. You know, if you're working the shoreline, I mean, the key thing right now with all of your fishing, I don't care if you're doing snook or trout or any of it, you got to be willing to move around a lot.
Yeah, I guess Mike's okay. It was a gallstone that tried to pass through his pancreas.
Oh, Jesus.
That caused all his problems. Now, I'm dumber than a bag of rocks when it comes to the human body. I didn't even know they were in this. You know, I know they're all down in there, but I have no idea. But a gallstone that tried to go through his pancreas. Wow. I just got a text. We've That's been terrifying. Wondering about Mike. If you come in the store, you know Mike, and he's a really, really nice guy. And he's been in the hospital the last couple of days, and they just did the surgery on him. So hopefully he'll be back soon.
Very good. I'm glad he's doing it. I'm glad they
Yeah, I mean, isn't it one of those days? I am so tired.
Mm-hmm.
My throat is all scratchy. I just can't quite get it clear. I'm trying to be excited, and I'm just bone dog. But anyway, we're talking
dry about air and getting over this cold. That's kind of catching up to me, and plus running around, obviously.
Out in Turtle Bay, out in the open, you do get a good selection of trout out there, and some nice ladyfish to go with them. Mm-hmm. A lot of redfish along the bushes.
Yeah,
but now you got to keep moving though. From what I understand, you'll tag a redfish and keep the trolling motor on low because there's nobody with them. Just keep going. You'll find another one here and another one there. If you keep pitching the trees and sidearm it, try and get it right up at the drip line or under, and just toss that shrimp in there, give it 20-30 seconds worth of sit, and bring it back in, pitch in the next spot. Keep moving. and you'll have a good day. I mean, you'll catch a nice number of redfish, but you're going to work for it.
Right, and take extra shrimp with you right now, especially if you're going down there anywhere close to the a lot of grass or some of the bushes down there. The pinfish have moved back in. They left for a couple few weeks there where they really weren't a problem, but now they're starting to really do that piranha thing all over again.
Yeah, it's amazing when the pinfish move in. People don't understand how voracious of a creature that is. If you put a solitary pinfish in an aquarium, he's meek and mild and nice little fish.
And beautiful. And they're a pretty good-looking little fish, too.
Yeah, cool with all the lines and spots and stuff on them. And but put two of them in there, you got bullies.
Yeah.
Three of them, and you got marauders. I mean, they will attack and kill everything else in the tank.
Absolutely. I mean, including each other at times.
Yeah. I mean they're two not. Of them will gang up on the third one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, food is food. I'm sorry. You were my buddy last week, but this week, lunch is all I see.
Yeah.
So, getting on kind of the same scenario in Bull Bay. Mm-hmm. If you go back by the clam beds, you've got some better, bigger fish back there. But as a general rule, they're going to kind of mirror each other a little bit.
Right.
There are some snook on the islands between Bull and Turtle Bay, like by the Eagle's Nest and stuff. Not huge numbers, but you'll have some fun. You'll catch a few fish.
Absolutely.
But getting out around the front, Kaopalu, between Kaopalu and Devilfish, and working our way north along the tailing flats there, Gasparilla Sound,
same basic thing. You know, there's still been quite a few scattered redfish there, a lot of trout out there in those deeper grass flats. But
you gotta wait for water.
Yeah,
because it's really hard to get back there. Really hard to get there at this time of year.
Yeah,
and you don't want to be going through there blowing, you know, 60 feet of mud while you're going through and ripping up all the grass. You want to idle in and really gently, because the best idea is run jack plate up, trim the motor out, slosh some water, and get back in there and then start to drift.
Right.
Because, you know, sloshing the motor gets you there, but you're going to run the fish away from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Going up there between Widden Creek and Catfish Creek out there on those bays, same thing. You got to look for that higher water. And those fish are there, but you just got to move around a lot. Either drift or set your trolling motor on low. And the bycatch that they've been catching in there, besides the trout and the redfish, has been pompano. Been a few pompano in there, some small bonnet heads, the occasional baby bull shark. Kind of a mixed bag of stuff. Even heard of a couple small flounder back in there. Nothing real big, but a few flounder.
Boy, it's going to be tough for the next couple days. High tides during the middle of the day are less than a 1.0.
Oh, geez.
Now, if you go out at midnight, you've got great water. But, boy, during the day, you're looking 0.8s, 0.9s. And, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the tide's already starting to go down again. But it's slow-moving water. It's probably going from a 0.8 down to a 0.7. You know, there's not a lot of moving water.
No.
Next couple afternoons are going to be a little tough. Hopefully things will pick up after New Year's, but I would be out looking for sheephead, working some of the wrecks. That's a slow tide for back, low and slow on the flats.
Absolutely. You know, I'd be concentrating my effort around that trestle or in the passes or, like you said, some of the near shore reefs.
Well, speaking of the trestles, that brings us to Placida.
Nice. All right,
behind door number two, we have the Placida Trestle. It is your sheephead fishing heaven. At least it should be.
It should be, but
it should be. It's real spotty. You're going to go there, and if you get really lucky, and one neat thing about the slack tides, the sheephead bite better without water moving.
Yes.
Because they're going to mill around. They're going to look for food. They can look behind them, in front of them, all around, and they're not having to face in the current to hold still.
Yep.
So those slow-moving tide days, a great day to fish a pier, a reef. The fish on the reefs, usually they got to stay looking into the tide to hold their place. But when that water stops moving, it's the one type of thing you can do on a slack tide day. So the snappers, the sheephead, the black drum, all these fish will mill around those piers. And actually, my personal opinion, I think the fishing is actually better when the water's not moving there. The end of a tide or beginning of the tide is good, but if I'm going to go slack tide fishing, a slow day fishing, slow water movement, I'm definitely going to a reef or a pier or something and try and see what I can tag off of it.
And I honestly prefer that, too. I would prefer a very slow-moving tide or no-moving tide, with the exception of snook.
Right.
You know, if I'm fishing on just about anywhere, snook's about the only exception to that tide rule for me personally. But I like it because I can downsize my gear. I can use a much lighter sinker. I can fish both sides of the trestle up as close as I can to the pilings because, like you said, those fish are moving around all over the place underneath you. So it gives you a lot more options. If you're moving up...
Did you notice I put a little picture of us up on the website for the link now? I tried to redo the fishandfranks.com, make it a little easier to understand. And there's a little picture of the three of us with our new studios, our microphones that are bolted to the ceiling because there's no place in the floor to put them.
No.
So we bolted them to the ceiling.
Hey, it works good.
Yeah, you know, what can I say? Pop the bass off the mic stands and some pipe clamps, and we got mics hanging from the ceiling. But anyway, coming around Placida, there's been a lot of small sharks out around the beach, so there should be some around Placida.
Yeah, they've been getting some bonnet heads and a few Atlantic sharpnose. Even an oddball sandbar has moved in a little bit, not a lot because it's still so warm, but a few of the stragglers moved in chasing those mullet that ran off a couple weeks ago, so you still got some fish closer to shore.
Speaking of mullet, big uproar again this year. All the mullet guys out there, two basic types of mullet. You got many different types. You got the silver mullet, the black mullet, and all these other ones. But basically boil it down to two species, male and female.
Mm-hmm.
And the females have eggs in them. And fish eggs, caviar, worth right. money.
Red row.
Orange row, red row. Red row, rough, rough. Okay. But the, felt like Scooby-Doo for a minute. Okay.
Thought it was red rum.
Red rum. Okay. All right. But the caviar is worth money. What comes out of a male?
Milk.
Yeah, well, that's pretty close. And so when you get out there and the guys, you know, hit a bunch of mullet, the females are worth $1.50, $2 a pound.
80.
80 cents it's down to?
80 cents.
It's not even worth running for.
It was 86 cents about a week and a half ago.
And I heard it was up almost to 2 up north for a while.
Up north they're getting a little bit more, and that's where the big, big run has been.
Yeah.
More so than here, so it's been kind of good for us in a way, but... Well, it's cheap.
When you run a net around a bunch of mullet, you're going to get so many males and so many females. Well, the males are worth, what, five or ten cents? Maybe if you get big money, you're going to get 20 cents a pound for the males.
Correct.
So if you've got a boat, you've got 20,000 fish, and 10,000 of them are males, males are going back in the water.
Yep.
Because they have the dollar value is so low.
Yep.
So, you know, that, and people are thinking, at calling us asking, is there a pollution thing going on, a poison in the water,
red tide?
And the quick answer is there's no particular poison, red tide, anything else that only targets male mullet.
Right.
And when you look at them, they're roe mullet or male mullet. They're sometimes females they've cut the eggs out of, just keeping the roe. Most of the time it's just males.
Right.
And there'll be hundreds and hundreds of them scattered along wherever guy went to, you know.
And the sad part is that they all get a bad rap for it when it could be just one guy. Because when you're talking, like you said, you get 1,000 mullet in a net. And let's say 50% of those fish are white roe.
400 to 600 of them are going to be white roe.
Right. And they throw those back. You've got all those floating around. And it looks like a holocaust out there. And in reality, it was just one guy being a total jerk. You know, it doesn't take much, but it still sucks because it gives everybody a bad name and makes it miserable for everybody.
I think,
and I'm not defending anybody by any means, but it just gets frustrating.
I think what's going to end up happening is there's so much media attention over the last 2-3 years with this because the price of males went down so far, and it's Viagra's fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Viagra is what caused that low price on the male mullet because the white roe, the male sperm, was used to be sold in Asia and other markets as an aphrodisiac. Helped the guys get a little more excited. At least that was the belief.
In theory.
In theory. Well, whether it did or didn't, but, you know, it's like oysters. People say they work and people say they don't work. But that was what the white roe used to sell for. And so both mullet had equal value. And so here you had all this... you know, went from all this money, and all of a sudden it came out with this blue pill. Okay, you can take this little blue pill, and it pretty much going to work.
Yeah.
You know, call a doctor after 4 hours. But, you know, you can eat the white roe out of a mullet.
Right.
Or you can take a little blue pill. Pretty much most of the world went to taking a little blue pill.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that's what happened to the price of mullet. That's why there's so many dead mullet around. And it has nothing to do with anything, but mullet is one of the best eating fish there is, in my opinion, if you fillet it properly.
Right.
Cut the red off the meat, and what a beautiful fillet. And it's delicate, it's light. I mean, I'm going to get a lot of angry emails and calls, but it is twice as good at eating as walleye. Twice as good filleted properly. Filleted improperly, just cut off, it's like a bluefish. You know, it's okay, it's good, but it ain't great. But right. Filleted properly, they're absolutely wonderful. And you can cook them in any way you want to. But people never got a taste for them. Not since the whole thing. That pretty much ended in the 1980s. And when we had the big influx of people coming down from up north. Well,
snook and redfish became the popular thing.
Right. It just fell out of fashion. And so while the meat's excellent, and people, I can tell you, if you leave the red strip in, you've got all the omega-3s you could ever want, more than salmon. But
more than any one of those pills you can buy.
Yeah, those pills are horrible. I hate those krill pills. That's starving every animal in the world because the Russians figured out how krill had an acid in it, made it unedible for humans, or a chemical in it, something that was just unedible. And they figured out how to neutralize that, and now they went after the food. And that's food for whales and penguins and all the creatures I really think are cool.
Absolutely.
You know, so anyway, but catch a fish, fillet it, and eat it, and get your omega-3s there. Don't buy it in a pill.
Yeah.
But anyway, back onto the fishing. We were going up towards Lemon Bay.
If you do see a fish kill, though, call the FWC. They need to hear about it. The more people that complain about it, the more that there's hopefully going to be a positive result done to hopefully rectify the problem. So don't hesitate to call the FWC and give them a hard time. Bend their ear for a little bit. Call Tallahassee. Don't just call the Fort Myers one. Call Tallahassee and chew them out, too. It's going to help everybody all the way around. As you go up into Lemon Bay is kind of the same thing. You got to drift those flats. Find yourself 3 to 4 feet of water. Get up underneath the docks. You're getting some redfish, few trout, snapper, few flounder. Kind of a mixed bag.
I think our FWC office is in Lakeland, and it's 863-648-3200. If you go to fishandfranks.com, click the fishing laws, and click the FWC button. It's right at the bottom of the first page, 863-648-3200. And let them know if you do see a bunch of dead mullet laying somewhere, and maybe they can do something about these mullet laws.
Absolutely. The sheep's head have been scattered around up there along the flats. Some guys are catching a few. They're not any numbers by any means, but they are actually better quality fish. Those deeper sand holes and up around the mangroves up there going up in Lemon Bay.
Oh, I used to like fishing in Ski Alley. When you come across Ski Alley, then you follow the shoreline around heading up towards the bridge there, Tom Adams Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Those docks back in there. You used to get 18, 20-inch sheephead on a regular basis over there.
Yeah, that's
get
giants.
Get some deep water underneath a few of those docks.
Yeah, some of those docks are real deep.
Yeah, you got to do a Lewis and Clark, figure out which ones are holding the fish, which ones have a little bit of water on them. But once you figure it out, I mean, that was some really nice fishing. What a fight when they get that big.
Yeah.
You know, on regular, you know, 8 to 17 pound class rod, you know, that we used to fish them with 10 pound mono all the time, and that was a trick.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, sorry to interject, but no, I was just having, you know, I'm getting old, so well, I got these memories come back, and, you know, you got to talk about it.
You got to throw them out there right there.
You got to be a Greg, you know, you got a memory, you got to talk about it. You can't stop until you get it all out, you know?
Right. Well, and those docks up there, I've only gotten to fish them a couple times, so it's kind of cool to get refreshed on them, because, I mean, I'm not really that super familiar with up there in Lemon Bay.
Yeah, we're gonna have to run up there.
Most of my fishing has all been done from the shore.
Yeah, we'll run up there this year. We gotta get out.
We gotta get out a million times this year.
Yeah,
we've been saying it for
my dad, me and you, me and my dad. Take Terry out. We gotta a lot of fishing to do this year.
Yes.
So definitely. Anyway, going from there out through Stump Pass, you got a few pompano, some whiting along the beaches, mm-hmm. a lot of small sharks.
So mostly, most of them are bonnet heads, but there's been some incidental, you know, little black tips, some black nose,
sharp nose, yeah.
Kind of a mixed gamut. If not super high expectations, but not, it's definitely
worth
targeting.
Yeah. A little bit of flounder, one here, one there. Nothing that I would say, okay, go out and fish for flounder, but right. Great bycatch. Really nice surprise when you do catch them, and a lot of keepers. A lot of nice size flounder out there, but it's nothing you're going to go out and say, okay, I'm going to flounder fish for.
Right.
This should be November, December, or 2 months, best months of the year historically for catching flounder, and it just not really happening again this year.
No, not at all.
But getting out in the Gulf, we've got bonita out there.
Got some bonita out there, some bigger black tips, you know, all at about 12 to 18 miles.
But you can go out like 3 miles out to Novak, Tremblay, you know, you can stay within sight of land on some of those reefs and still do pretty good.
Absolutely. The mangrove snapper, lane snapper, the grunts, the porgies. I'm imagining that there's plenty of sheephead out there because since they've done a disappearing act in here. And it wouldn't surprise me if the bonita move in that close. You know, I mean, just keep your eyes open for all that
what
stuff.
What about big eye tuna? Now, their guys were catching a couple out there, and the blackfin and stuff like that.
The big eye was one that was caught.
One that we know of.
Yeah. And then there's been a few blackfin. Actually, Morris today sent me a picture of a couple blackfin and a big wahoo that they got. I'm going to guess that he was probably 40, 50 miles offshore, though, for that.
For a wahoo, I'm assuming at least 30 miles out.
Yeah.
If not, I would say almost 40.
And it's glass calm, so, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to run out there that far today.
Well, he's got an 84-foot boat. They pretty much go wherever they want, right. You know. But, right.
But it is
if
nice.
You got twin engines and, you know, two engines on the boat, you know, and you want some different fishing you don't know is here in the Gulf. You get out there at that 40-mile range, it's not uncommon to run into mahi-mahi, blackfin tuna, sailfish, wahoo. I mean, there's all the fish you think are in the Keys. And it's funny, when you go to the Atlantic, you're out 30, 40 miles without thinking about it.
Right.
It's, you know, because there's so many other boats doing it.
Right.
You know, exactly. You just see all these other boats, so it makes it comfortable. And when you get out in the Gulf, you're pretty much by yourself out
right.
there. Yeah. You might see a boat or two all day, but
so
not
so even if
very
you've
often.
Got twin engines, you still want to be safe about it.
Right, but know. At least with twins, chance of both of them going down, you can always idle back, or at least idle within range to get help.
Right.
I would never recommend going out on a single engine.
No.
You know.
Nope. So, never.
Unless not that far.
Buddy program, maybe.
Yeah, with the buddy program, somebody can drag you back in, too. That's right. Fine. Anyway, going along with that,
The crab traps out there, too, have been holding some triple tail.
It's hard to get them to bite.
Real tough.
But some monsters. A guy who comes in, fishes triple tail regular basis. The wind's been predominantly east and northeast, so you can get to a lot of those closer stone crab traps.
Yeah.
And he says he saw the biggest triple tail he's ever seen.
Yeah.
And he's like me. He catches some really big triple tail. And for him to go, Frank, I saw this at a quarter mile away.
Yeah.
You know, it looked like a doormat, you know, like somebody had taken a adult cape and, you know, Dracula's cape and put it out next to the buoy. He said it was huge.
Wow.
But he got all excited and made a little wrong cast, dropped it on his head instead of over on the side, and next thing you know, the fish was gone.
That would do it.
Yep, triple tail fever. Hand gets shaken, you're
off
by a foot.
You see one that big, I can understand kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Flipping out a little bit.
That's a dream fish for me. I think my biggest is like 30 or 31 inches.
Jesus.
And I would really like to get something a little closer to 40 inches. It's fish of a lifetime.
I just want to land one.
Yeah. We'll go. We're going to do it. We're gonna,
I just want to land
gonna fish
one.
This year. We'll go out. I got that nice, you know, remote control trolling motor
I've
on the boat.
I've plenty of them. I've just never landed one.
Well, we'll do it with 6-pound mono. We'll get rid of the stupid braid so we can get some fish out there.
Right.
Because I do way better with mono, you know, a lot more hookups. The braid is nice because you got all the power, and if you wrap a line, but you know, you just got to be a little more patient when you're using mono.
Absolutely.
But 6-pound mono on those big triple tail is a riot because you got to be on your game. You got to know how to palm the spool. You can't have your drag set. You know, you got to, everything's done by hand.
Nice.
Love that fishing.
That'd be fun.
So anyway, got triple tail. Red group are actually doing pretty good, and it does open in federal waters January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
The amberjack comes back in February 1st. If you're unsure of what the fishing laws in the Gulf are past 9 miles, fishandfranks.com, click the fishing laws button, and when you do it, you're going to see the kind of brighter green one. It says federal fishing regulations in the Gulf. It's super easy to follow, because if the fish is in season, it's literally in green. If it's a closed season, it's kind of an orange color, and it's all by the fish. So you can look for your fish and just scroll down the page and find the fish. If the fish is not listed there, it does not have a size or bag limit on it in federal waters. So
technically it does.
Yeah.
I just learned that a while ago, so it's kind of interesting.
Well, you've got all the same stuff. The state rules all apply in aggregate of snapper, aggregate of this.
No, grunts.
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 Okay.
You're allowed. Because they're not listed, but technically it's 2 or 100 pounds, whichever is greater.
2 fish or 100 pounds, whichever is greater.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Same way with whiting.
Never knew that.
Yeah. Josh showed it to me.
Really?
Yeah.
2 fish or 100 pounds, whichever is greater. Now, if you got 2 whiting that weighed more than 100 pounds, you're going to be not only in the IGFA records, you're going to be in a Guinness Book of Records.
But how does that work? You know, I mean, 2 fish or 100 pounds, whichever is greater.
There's a couple of big snappers, like mutton snappers.
They don't get that big. Kubera.
Kubera get that big. But, I mean, just there's something about grunts that we don't know. There's some 60-pound grunts swimming around out there.
Oh, I'm sure.
That we're unaware of. Because why would you put a law like that? Why would you just say, you know, you can't keep more than 100 pounds?
Right. I don't know. That's just, it's the game in fish.
Yeah, I know. It's FWC?
It's the federal
government. Oh, the federal government? Oh, no wonder they're whack jobs.
Yeah, it's both. Yeah. Both of them follow underneath that.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, the feds are doing it. If you gave them a book, they couldn't do it more wrong. Here, how do you do this really dumb in 10 easy steps? And they follow it right down the, you know, it's the feds. They have no idea.
I don't know. I don't get it.
Once you get a guaranteed paycheck, you can't be fired from.
It's a non-regulated species, but this is the rule for it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Strange.
Okay, so anyway, getting on past our idiotic government. All right, let's see. None of those words should be tagged, I mean, except government. Well, right now there's a supercomputer lighting up. They're talking about the government!
Yeah, you know, exactly.
And right now they've just tapped into our computer to find out if we've named anybody specifically so that we can be sent to a black cell somewhere.
Right, exactly.
Expect the helicopters over us any minute. All right, going and walking along the beaches, there's a little bit of pompano to catch. A
little bit of pompano.
And, I mean, this is...
A few oddball whiting.
I haven't really looked.
Oddball bonnet heads. I mean, it's sporadic. Sporadic would be a good word for that out along the beaches right now. You got to move. You can't just pull out your lounge chair and sit there unless you just want to watch the people walking by and just catch a tan, then that's fine. But if you actually want to get into some fish, you got to move around a lot.
Okay, St. Pete is 71 degrees. Naples, 79 degrees Gulf temperature.
Seriously?
Almost 80.
Wow.
St. Pete is sitting at 71.2 degrees Gulf water temperature, and Naples is actually at 79.7.
So, we're right in between that. So, what, 75, 74?
Yeah, 74 degrees.
Wow.
That's warm. No wonder we don't have much kings out there.
Yeah.
That's warm for the... I mean, that's hot for this time of year.
Right.
It's ridiculous. Fishandfranks.com, weather and tides, Gulf water temperatures. List a bunch of different ones right there.
That's toasty.
Wow. Key West, 75.4. Now, they got the Atlantic water coming in there. That's why Naples is a little warmer. They're sitting right on that. They're up far enough into the Gulf to have the Gulf temp without getting the cooling of the Atlantic.
Well, and plus they got all that Florida Bay there so super shallow that it stays pretty warm.
Yeah, but Key West is only 75.4. Naples is 79.7.
But that's what I'm talking about. Naples, you get that Florida Bay with the water kind of stays a little more consistent.
It's more of an eddy there, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but wow.
That's crazy. 80
degree Gulf temperature in Naples right now. That's
wild. Never unheard of. Never heard of that in December.
So if you're going to go and look for December normal water temperatures in St. Pete, supposed to be 72 degrees, 62 in January, 70 in February. But it's supposed to be down to 72, and it is 76.1. So it's got the averages for the month at the top of the page. It's kind of a booger. You got to scroll down on it. But fishandfrags.com, weather and tides, that info's right there. So anyway, back along the beaches, we were talking about some pompano, some shark activity.
Seems like the closer you get to the passes, it's just a little bit more productive.
You have water flow.
Yeah.
Movement.
Yeah, lots of, well, and plus it's moving the food in and out.
Right.
So that seems to be a little bit more consistent, especially with the pompano action. The pompano action has been sporadic, but when it's on, it's been on.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys that have been getting into them have been whacking them. But
somebody came in to sell me pompano jigs day before yesterday. Mm-hmm. And, this is our line of jigs, and here's the pompano jigs, and then here's some random jig. And I'm looking, I'm going, the random jig was a real pompano jig. The other jigs were just simple bucktail jigs, but you couldn't catch a pompano on one of these jigs. And I told him, I said, you label these correctly and make them properly. I said, I'd be happy to sell them. It's a nice little jig, good price. But if you've got an inch and a half of bucktail past the hook,
right,
you're going to get a lot of pompano grabbing on the tail, but you're never going to see one on the hook.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it's, that one that took the short bus to the fish school,
right,
because they bite up from the back, and right, if you get a jig, and like you're buying a pompano jig and you're looking for pompano, take a pair of scissors with you and trim any of the bucktail or whatever it is about an eighth of an inch behind the hook. Just trim it back,
right,
and then you'll actually start hooking up fish,
and that's at the very most.
If sometimes I actually like the back bend of the hook almost sticking out of the bucktail, because they're going to come up from behind and they'll short strike the hell out of it. If you've got an inch and a half of bucktail, you're never seeing a fish. Somebody knock?
No, that was
me. Oh, that was you. Okay. Anyway, nice, real nice product. But the pompano jigs with the ball on the front and everything, again, they had about an inch of hair sticking behind the hook. I'm like,
so it's just a bucktail.
Yeah, I said, that's a bucktail, but that actually is a pompano jig if it was cut correctly and done correctly. I said, you fix your product, and I said, I'll be happy to carry it. But I'm not selling my customers that kind of stuff. I mean, not something that I know it would catch a trout, it would catch all these other fish.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But all you're going to do is frustration from, just be madly frustrated trying to catch pompano with them. Because all you'd feel is bump, 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 bang, bang, bang. No fish.
Right.
That would be very frustrating. Great looking product, but he's got to fix it. I told him once he gets it fixed, bring it back. I'll take a look at it again.
Well, there you go.
I'm not, this is our customers. We can't sell them that kind of stuff.
No, not at all.
I liked him. He was a nice guy, but, what am I going to do?
Especially if it's labeled as...
It was labeled as a pompano.
A species specific. If we don't feel confident with it, it's hard to want to carry it. Regardless of that, it'll catch a million other fish.
This is the worst part about it. You'd have to explain to everybody.
Right.
Okay, it says pompano jig, but worst jig in the world to throw for a pompano.
Right.
But if you're going to throw that for trout or this or that or next thing, it'd be a great jig for that.
Right.
It's too confusing for people, and I'm not putting my customers through that.
Right.
Not going to happen.
No.
So, yeah. Yeah, there is a reason I have this reputation. I'm a mean sucker when it comes to people.
Yeah, but you're on.
I got to protect my customers.
Right.
They're my first priority. My number one priority is making sure they have a good experience, that they get the right product to catch the right fish. This is what's important. Me hurting the feelings of a manufacturer, just, I got like 2 minutes worth, I got 2 seconds worth of, oh, gee, I shouldn't have done that. But, not when you're trying to sell me something.
Right. They're trying to convince you to buy something.
To sell to my customers.
To sell to your customers. And you need your customers to come back because your customers are what makes your living.
Right. And if you want me to sell it to my customers, you better do it right. I'm not getting involved. I don't care.
Right.
Don't like me? Don't care. You know, I'm here to protect my customers, make sure they get it all right. But anyway, coming back down, let's go into the passes. Now, there was some Red Grouper in Boca Grande, a little bit in Captiva. I've heard of a couple of shorts, but really a thin way out.
Yes, very much so.
Pompano seems to be pretty good.
Pompano have been real good. The Mangrove Snapper kind of picked up a little bit this past week. Nothing gangbuster, but definitely a little spike in it, which is good.
Heard of a little bit of snook down a Redfish Pass.
A little bit of Sheep's Head, too, in all the passes. There's been some very good trout down there in Redfish Pass and Captiva Pass on just on the inside and the outside edges of it, along with those Pompano and Oddball Flounder. Bonnetheads have been a real popular one going on through there, too. Haven't heard any Spanish at all. Like, we're talking about the Spanish have kind of all but disappeared, but there have been a couple incidental ones being just caught, you know, not while because they're not targeting them, but the few that they've been catching have been big. And a guy in here yesterday, they got one that was 31 inches down there, and it wasn't a baby king.
Cool.
You know, but it's just bycatch. You know, it's complete.
Right.
Accidental catch.
You know what's weird? For about 3 years, we had a lot of king mackerel in the harbor, and last year, none.
Right.
I don't know what happened. We had a big burst where they're all coming in the harbor. But then again, we haven't had any bait, really, in the harbor the last couple of years.
Right.
And that's probably what did it.
Yeah.
We had so much bait a few years ago.
Yeah, we had the glass minnows first showed up, then the threadfin showed up, and the white bait all showed up kind of almost simultaneously. Yeah,
and it was just so many fish in the harbor. It could be why the mackerel didn't come in much this year, too. But anyway, getting down, Panarassa, Pompano, bonnet sharks.
Some bigger trout in some of those deep grass flats. Still some redfish underneath those docks and some snook, too. The deeper grass flats have been real productive for a variety of stuff. I mean, you fish those deep sand holes and you're going to get trout. Pompano, the bonnet heads, obviously. A few oddball, bigger snapper, oddball flounder. You know, kind of a mixed gamut of stuff all throughout the whole sound, really.
I haven't heard a thing about the Caloosahatchee.
Neither have I.
Now, the tarpon should be up there by the water treatment plant. Mm-hmm. There should be a ton of snook at the trestle. And I just can't get a report from down there.
No, there was a gentleman here that works there at the water treatment plant. He was talking about all the snook and the tarpon that are right there inside the
power plant.
And he said, you know, believe it or not, they're not even allowed to fish in there.
No.
Which surprised me, because, I mean, usually employees there, I mean, I know that most
people... No, it's a federally protected area because of the manatees.
Yeah, but still, I mean, it's just, you would think that there's there's a gray area there usually, irregardless, but he said that it's not...
No, this is a no-entry zone.
No fishing at all.
It's one of the few places I don't know if I'd want to eat a fish out of, because... Manatees eat 60, 70 pounds worth of grass a day.
He just wants to catch that 30 and 40 pound snook and those 100 pound tarpon that he's seen. He doesn't care about eating. Yeah. He just wants to catch one.
But what goes in must come out.
Absolutely.
And that's a lot of manatee poop in one area.
Yeah. Yeah. Terrifying. But it would be nice to get some reports from down there, because we're not even really... I haven't gotten a decent report from Cape Coral either in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be nice if somebody would email us.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or at least call on a regular basis, just to let us know how they're doing.
Yeah, give Robert, call the store, talk to Robert. He loves talking fishing. And anyway, coming back up, Matt Lachey, St. James City.
St. James City's got a lot of big trout hanging out there in those deeper grass flats. The redfish I'm hearing about from there up to Matt Lachey, you're working for them. You just got to constantly be moving, hitting the sand holes, hitting some of those deep mangrove bushes. Cool thing about down there is, I mean, you know, like Charlotte Harbor, for the most part, all your mangrove shorelines are fairly shallow underneath them. But down there in Pine Island, Matt Lachey, all that area, certain mangrove clumps have got 4 and 5 foot buckets underneath them.
I know some of them that got 10 and 15 feet.
Right.
So,
you know, just utterly amazing. So if you can find some of those deeper cuts that are underneath those bushes, that's been holding a good concentration of some better redfish, but they're still singles. You're not finding multiples. Usually it's one here, work the shoreline, find another one. The snook have been down there a little bit, and The sheephead have kind of moved away from Matt Lachey, but there's been quite a few.
But they did it from everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. There are sheephead on the flats and underneath the mangrove bushes, not in any good numbers, but the fish that are there are a little bit better quality. You know, talking to Danny today, this morning, he got into some pretty nice sheephead yesterday. He said he caught several of them that were in the high teens out there fishing on the flats, but it was just one oddball here and one oddball there while fishing for redfish.
Yeah, no, I've been telling these guys, call me when you're on the water, call me when you get off the water, give me some fishing reports. Typical fishing guides. You offer them free advertising to give you fishing reports, and, oh, I forgot. You know, I get it. They're tired. But anyway, let's see. How's Two Pines?
Two Pines have been okay. I mean, there's been some pompano on the outside edges there and some trout.
So little water inside, it's hard to get back there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's been a little tough all the way over on that whole side from Burnt Store down. The inside's been a little on the tricky side, so most of the guys are just popping on the outside and just drifting it for the trout and the few pompano that are over there. Been an occasional bonnet head, too.
All right. Now, coming up, Burnt Store Marina. Anything going? There's a lot of snook in Burnt Store Marina. There always is.
A lot of snook, but all the trout that were stacking up in there a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, pretty much have left. You know, there's still some on the outside, you know, way outside on the outside of the islands there, but they're all but virtually moved out of the channel.
Wow.
You know, and then moving.
I think it's just that water temp. I mean, we're looking at 74, 75 degrees. Now, I'm hearing on one part of the harbor, you're going to be in 65 degree water. Another part is 70. Another part is 75. The temperature in the harbor is changing. I mean, you go a mile down the shore and you can change 5 degree water temperature.
Yeah, thermal climes are weird.
Yeah, it's really strange how the temperature's fluctuating all over the place. I mean, 5 to 10 degrees within the harbor itself.
Right.
Coming up just north of there, Pirate Harbor, the east side.
Scattered redfish, once again, you know, if you can get onto those flats with the low water that we've been having, you're finding some redfish. But most of the action has been just on the outside edge of the bar. You know, you got your trout, some few redfish. Been some cobia cruising along the bar. Look for either a manatee or a couple stingrays. Most of those cobia over there, once again, they're still mostly on the shorter side, but still a riot to catch.
Oh, yeah. You're out there trout fishing, and you pitch that spoon at the cobia and hook up. You've got a nice fight.
Absolutely.
It's fun. That's a lot of fun. Some bonnet sharks on the bar over there, from what I've been hearing.
Yeah, some bonnet heads. But while you're out there, too, the other thing that's been kind of happening a little bit over there, there has been some oversized redfish scattered around. The main thing with those is you're going to work your butt off for them, but be observant and just watch. Watch for the occasional push. That's how some of
the push, what Robert's talking about, is literally the fish kind of raise up off the bottom, and in doing so, you'll see the surface kind of come up about an inch or two and kind of create like a wake motion forward, and it's literally a push of fish where they've actually pushed the water up just a bit. Right. And it's subtle, but once you see it, you'll know what it is, like learning to read a different language. When you see those fish come up off the bottom, they're in 2-3 feet of water, and all of a sudden they all raise up. It's like you taking your hand from underneath the water and pushing it towards the surface.
Right. Absolutely. So, and then once you see that, you just got to really start fan casting that entire area. Shrimp's been working best. Some of the cut sardines have been working fairly well. Cut mullet would probably be my personal choice just because of the amount of mullet that are around. Some marine crabs.
Hooking a paper towel to the hook, casting out, catching redfish with a paper towel.
Yeah.
That had to be something.
That had to be fun.
So
that had to be real fun.
Anyway, coming up, Alligator Creek. We've got some trout left in the creek, a little bit of pompano out in the mouth channel.
Mm-hmm. Been a few jacks milling around in there. Not a lot, but just moving in and out.
Yeah, had a guy come in today. He says, oh, I got a fish, and he hooked up, and he just ran down and wrapped around the piling down the thing, and I said, well, it's probably jack. No, I think it was a snook.
I said, okay.
All right, but jacks are way stronger than snook.
Oh, yeah.
Way
absolutely
stronger. I mean, I think they're stronger than anything. But if you get something in the canal, and all of a sudden your line just heads for Texas, and it's going and going and going, and then all of a sudden he takes a left or a right up one of the other canals or spins around a dock, that was probably a jack.
Yeah,
and PGI, like it's got some big jacks still left in it. 6'8", 12 pounders.
Yeah, they've been in and out of there sporadically. I mean, they're moving up and down each canal. Ever since they dredged Ponce, it's kind of changed some things a little bit. I mean, the fishing is not as good right there in Ponce. So
it will get good, and it will get a lot better. Absolutely. Because one of the reasons Ponce is so good is because they maintenance dredge it, like they used to Boca Raton Pass. And
absolutely.
When you maintain something, it stays pretty much the same. Once you do it, it takes a little bit, and then all of a sudden the fish come back in. They find their little holes and pockets that they want to lay in, but that's what keeps it clean and nice.
Absolutely. But those jacks are moving in and out of there, and every one of the canals are just kind of barging all around, so they're not staying in one spot better than another. The tarpon have moved in to Burnt Store Isles, PGI canals, real good. I mean, there's a lot of juvenile tarpon in that little, you know, 5 to 15 pound range scattered throughout there.
Right. Now, back there, I like the Dioia Terrorize, and Rattle Trap would be my second choice.
Mm-hmm.
But if I only had one or the other, I'd take the Rattle Trap because it's easier to use.
Much easier to use.
But if
I do the Terrorize just on the principle of the treble hook thing. That's just me.
But I just flatten the barbs in my treble hook, and it's fine. But
blind guy in treble hooks, I don't care if they're flattened or not. I don't like messing with them.
I get you. But I
that's
like
mainly my main terror of treble hooks is just me trying to get them out sucks.
Yeah. Well, you know, like you say, when you're blind, it's tough, you know. And but the DOA, if you learn how to use it and you're patient with it, letting it fall and bringing it back up, it's actually really, really effective, that Terrorize.
Yeah.
The smaller, either one of the smaller two, not the big one, but the mid-size or the down, and they work great, but you really got to be patient with it because it does not like to sink.
No.
And so you've got to sit there and get your little tip up, your jig coming up, and then wait 3 to 5 seconds before you do it again. It takes a bit. And anyway, I think that brings us back around up to 41.
Yeah, the only thing we missed was the center of the harbor.
Okay, what's going on in the middle of the harbor, Robert?
A few silver trout. Not a lot, but a few. The catfish have moved back in big time. But there's been quite a few cobia moving around. I mean, nothing super exceptional, but enough to bend the rod. Marker one, the 20-foot holes, all producing a few cobia here and there. And there's always that possibility of an incidental catch of a shark or who knows what else. You know, so as you're running along or drifting along, just trying to kill some time and mess around, it's worth taking a look for a little bit in some of those different little spots.
What about the reef at Alligator Creek? Anything going on there?
Mangrove snapper have been doing fair. Not exceptional, but fair. Sheep's head have been doing fair. Kind of the same thing. A few cobia, oddball bonnet head. And even the gags have gotten a little bit quiet there. I haven't heard much about a gag.
There was a lot of grouper on that reef just a couple weeks ago, but I think the water temp coming up 5 degrees changed everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
it's definitely making it a little funky out there. The main thing is, I think the moral of the whole thing is move.
Yeah.
Move a lot.
And
you know, it sucks when you're stuck on shore because you've got to lug all your tackle out there, then lug it back to the car, and then drive to the next spot and lug it with you. But when you're in a boat, just because you throw the anchor out doesn't mean you're stuck there. Pull it up, move. Just move. Give each spot, you know,
half hour, 40 minutes.
Yeah, if you're fishing on the flats, yeah, definitely no more than 40 minutes. Move.
Yeah, move if I don't get a hit spot in 40 minutes, I'm gone. I'm on to the next spot.
You're
I'm
more
a half
patient
hour
than I.
You know, I'm quarter mile, half mile away by the time that, you know, when that 40 minutes is up, I'm already hitting the key.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, anything else we need to go over?
Nope. Have a good New Year's. Be safe.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind?
I don't know all the lyrics at all.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of old lang syne?
Lang syne?
Yes, it's actually from the
German.
No, 14 or 1500, maybe 1600. It's Scottish or Irish,
okay.
But it means times gone by.
Oh, okay.
And Auld Lang Syne was not. If you ever watch a Western or an old movie, and they sing, you know, Auld Lang Syne for New Year's, it was never associated with New Year's until 1929. In 1929, I can't remember the band leader. It wasn't Benny Goodman. It was one of the other very prominent band leaders of the time. Guy Lombardo, I guess. But anyway, they were playing two live shows on a national radio broadcast. Remember, they used to, everything had to be live. Yeah. Well, they had limited recording ability, but they were able to play a tape or record or cylinder of Auld Lang Syne, and it just so happened the one show ended at 11:58 and the other one wasn't going to start till like 12:02, and so it was midnight on December 31st at midnight January 1st 1929 that he first broadcast that song at midnight, and it was such a big hit. They started playing it every New Year's at midnight, and it just caught on nationwide. But it was a strictly random song, you know, and it meant Four Times Gone By. And that's, it was an old, I'm pretty sure it was a Scottish poem that they put to music. And that's how it all started. But this all started in 1929.
That's pretty wild.
Yep. So, and I don't know if it was the 28-29 or 29-30.
So why'd they start Alice's Restaurant every Thanksgiving?
That was Arlo Guthrie trying to make money.
Oh, okay.
And I, God love him for it. Is I, you know, you can get
the one and only time
you want.
It's the only time you're here. Once a year.
Once a year at Thanksgiving, because he dropped a half a ton of garbage. I found your name at the, on the letter at the bottom of a half a ton of garbage. What do you have to say about that, sir? I cannot tell a lie, sir. I put that envelope at the bottom of that half ton of garbage. Yeah. So, anyway, from Alice's Restaurant, Auld Lang Syne, all the rest, the other stuff. This is Fish and Frank here. Thank you for being with us all year. Really appreciate that.
Definitely.
And that's Robert in the chair across from me. Pushing 17 years working together now, right?
Yeah.
So, it's been a while.
It's been awesome.
It's been a ride, hasn't it?
Yeah.
God, I'm so glad 14's over.
Yes.
I am not so much welcoming 2015 as saying, sayonara, see you later, goodbye, want to forget you, 2014.
Right.
I had some wonderful things happen and some really horrible things, you know, right. Good and bad.
Right.
But 2014, for me personally, physically, and all the rest of this stuff, was a little screwed up this year. And you've had
some, to get better.
Yeah. Well, I'm better now. I know what's going
You're
on.
You're way on the upswing. But it's awesome. I like it.
You know, and even you had some pretty weird things happen this year. Yeah. So poor Mike ended up the year in the hospital, yeah. And Greg's been going back and forth with everything, and even Jeff's had some ups and downs. Yeah. 2014, you can't say it was a bad year.
But it wasn't a banner year.
It wasn't a good year.
No.
It was... I would say horrifically mediocre,
yeah.
You know,
because, yeah.
You know, I wasn't told I was dying, but I was told, you know, I've got a lifelong.
But you were close.
Yeah, well, I was close to dead, but, you know, what the heck. I'm close to dead before for a lot better reasons, so.
Well, that's true.
I had a lot more fun getting there.
That's true.
So, anyway, I guess it's just Happy New Year, guys, and we're so thankful and appreciative you're staying with us, and
definitely all the support through the holidays, all your support in general throughout the whole year.
Boy, this last holiday season, I'm going to take back part of what I said about 14, because this holiday season was spectacular.
Yeah.
The cupcakes and the cookies. Remember that pumpkin thing with the cream cheese?
Oh my gosh, that pumpkin roll! Holy mackerel!
Oh yeah, this year has had some. I spoke too soon, because there's been some unbelievable highlights.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's just our nature to remember the crappy stuff more than the good stuff. I mean, it's just the human nature, unfortunately.
We were talking about that because, you know, a few hundred thousand years ago when our species was evolving, if something bad happened to you, it had to be brought to the front of your brain and remember it just for the species to survive.
Don't eat that seed or you'll die. It killed George.
Yeah, that seed is
cook
really
it
bad.
Twice,
you know?
But it's okay.
Don't go by that animal. It bites, you yeah. know? I mean, all the bad stuff had to be brought foremost in front to your brain just for us to survive as a species, as humans. And now it's relatively civilized humans. What a pain in the butt. Why isn't the happy thoughts their first ones?
Exactly.
You know, because here, there really was some great stuff in 2014. Oh, absolutely. There was some phenomenal times with the customers. We did a PGI Fishing Club thing. Yeah. We've Bernster Anglers. We were with them. Gulf Co.
All the different
fishing clubs. And
the Luigi's thing every month. I mean,
there's been just an array of terrific times.
All the stories that the customers have come in and shared with us after their experience of being here and going out and catching their first time fish, or their kids catching their first time fish because of us.
I am
helping them in some way.
It's just going to say, what a jerk I am. Here I am dwelling in just all that bad stuff.
I was right with you, though.
You know.
I mean, we both were, so, I mean, yeah. Damn it, man, quit dwelling on the petty crap.
Yeah, there was some wonderful times last year. I had a great time, and I mean, I've had Terry, she stuck with me now for 30 years. My kids are all in good shape. I think it's 30 years this May or June.
Wow.
So, yeah. Poor girl. We were talking about how I've just destroyed her, the other day. Living with me for 30 years has just been not good for her, So, I'm near dead, but poor girl, she's had a tough time of it. Anyway, our thoughts go out to Mike. We hope you're out of the hospital very soon. And to all the rest of you, I guess one last Happy New Year.
Definitely.
All right, see you on the next one.